Oh, you're fine. Yep. Well, take your Bible with me and turn over to the Gospel of Luke. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. And we're going to begin reading. If you would, stand with me once more. In honor of God's Word, we're going to begin reading in verse 8. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. The announcement of Christ's birth. Now there were, in the same country, shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid, and you would be too. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there is with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told to them. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your written word. And we thank you for the living word. Our Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you that you took on flesh. You became one of us so that we might be redeemed. Lord, what a miracle. What a wonder. What a glorious thought. Father, I pray this morning that as we look at your word, as we draw near to your table, as we lift up our eyes, Lord, I pray that we would come and see and behold your glory, and that we would go from here rejoicing and telling others how great you are. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Well, this is a familiar passage. You know the account of the shepherds, you know what the Bible has to say, took place on that day, that little town in Bethlehem. And it was a little town. It was just a little stop on the road back in that day. And when this took place, you know the story, that there was no room found for Mary and Joseph as they went to have their taxes taken and return to the prophesied town of Bethlehem, not intending to fulfill prophecy, but there it was, right there before them, God arranging all the events miraculously, just so. But here they are, and she gives birth, and the setting, we often picture it as a stable. Now, if you notice in the Bible, it says that she brought forth their firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. She laid him in a manger. He was certainly among animals. He was certainly among sheep, and he was certainly wrapped in swaddling clothes, but probably it was in a cave off of a house, in a dank, quiet cave. Not a stable as we commonly think of it, but this cave is where they would have housed their animals. To think of it, here the Lord of glory, he who formed all things, spoke all things into existence, he who created you and I, gave us life, gave us breath, here he is in all his glory in heaven, the myriad of angels all surrounding him, glorifying him day and night. Here he is, to whom all honor and glory and praise is due. The Bible says he clothes himself in light. He wraps himself in splendor. And yet, on this day, he wrapped himself in flesh like you and me. He took on our flesh. He took on our existence. And he was born in the lowliest of settings. Why? So that we would know his love for us. So that we would know that he draws near to us. Because we could not go to him, he came to us and lived among us and took on our flesh, took on our sin. He lived a perfect life. But on this day, I want you to notice that God wanted people to know. You see, he announced it. He made it known. He spread it abroad. He sent his angels. Imagine it. He sent his angels to announce to poor shepherds, hey, the king is here. Your peace is here. Your Savior has been born this day near you. That announcement was an invitation. The angels were sent as an invitation to say, come and see the Christ. Come and draw near to him. Be close to him. You see what they said? Look with me again. They said, there's going to be a sign. You're going to find the babe wrapped. How? In swaddling clothes. These were probably cotton or wool. They were soft. They were warm. It's what they commonly wrapped the babies in. They did it in that day to keep their legs straight and their limbs straight and to give them comfort and warmth. You're going to find him wrapped in swaddling clothes, but the sign is he's going to be lying in a manger. No place for a king, but there he is in our midst. There he is in the lowliest of settings. And of course, suddenly, there was this great host praising God, lifting up their voice to God and saying, glory, glory to God in the highest. He's on earth in the lowest setting, but oh, all glory and honors and praises due him in the highest. The angels are amazed at the humility of the Savior, that he would draw near and take on this dusty world and enter into our existence and become one of us. Why? Why did Christ come? Well, he came so that you and I could come to him. He came so that you and I could be joined back to God. You see, the angels that day, they announced in all the glory and splendor, they were saying to the shepherds, come and see, come behold the Lamb of God, the bread of life laid out for you, given for you. Come and behold God's glory. Draw near and see his splendor. And that's what the shepherds did, wasn't it? And they drew near and they said, what would you have done in that situation? You would have said, hey, we need to draw near too. I mean, can you imagine? You're out there minding your own business. The world's passing by and suddenly, boom, there's an angel standing before you and you're frightened and you want to fall on your face. And here he says, don't be afraid. Stand up and listen to the good news that God has come to you. And you see this glorious splendor of all the angels, the whole heaven filled with them. And you pinch yourself and you look at one another and you say, are you seeing this? Well, yeah. We better do something about it. The glory of God's been told to us. Let's go see what they're talking about. So that's what they do. They go into town and here, in the humblest of settings, in the lowliest of low, they find the King of Kings lying in a manger. And they bow down and they worship. And joy fills their heart as they realize what God has done. He's come to us. And so they go out. That's what the Bible says. They go out and they make it. They tell everybody. Everybody they come across, they say, guess what?
I saw the King. I saw the Christ child. I saw the Messiah, the one that was promised. He's here. He's drawn near to us. And he even wanted me to come because he sent his angels to tell me. He wanted me to draw near to him. Oh, what a glory. What a thought. Well, why did he come? He came. He was born. He took on our flesh so that he might die and redeem you and I. He was born among the lambs. He was announced to the shepherds because he himself was the Lamb of God who would take on the sins, your sin and my sin, the sins of the whole world, and would pay for our sin by shedding his own blood. He was born in a manger, a wooden piece of something strapped together. Not fancy at all. And one day he would stretch out his arms, those arms that were stretched out and laid in that piece of wood and surrounded with hay would one day be stretched out on wood again to give his life's blood for you and me. He was born that he might die so that we might be forgiven. But that's not where the story ends, is it? The story of Christmas, as we sung this morning, one of the reasons I love Christmas songs is because it's full of the gospel. It tells the whole story from beginning to end. It tells the story of our loss, of him coming to redeem us from our sin, of him taking on our flesh and then going to the cross and then one day returning again, as we sang in Joy to the World. He rules. He reigns. And one day he will reign forever. But the story doesn't end in the grave. You remember on the day that he was crucified, he was taken down. His mother, the same woman who bore him and laid him in that manger, is now holding him at the foot of the cross, beholding her son dying for her. And the men come and wrap him, and they place him in that tomb, and Joseph of Arimathea's tomb, and they seal it. And there he lies, crucified, when he did no wrong. And yet, 3 days later, some angels come again to announce a wondrous good news. Turn with me over to Matthew chapter 28. There's a parallel here. The angels back in Luke said, go see. Basically, they were saying, unto you has been born this day in the city of David a Savior, Christ the Lord. Go see him, is what they were saying. Draw near to him. But in Matthew 28, on the third day of the week, third day after he was crucified, the first day of the week, verse 1 says, now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow, and the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. For he is risen, just as he said. Come, come, they say. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go and tell his disciples. And that's what the women do. They look into the tomb and they go and they tell his disciples. And in the book of John chapter 20, we won't turn there, but Peter and John go running to the tomb. And John outruns Peter and he gets there first and he stoops and he looks in. And what does he see? Linen clothes, linen cloth lying in the tomb. The sign that the Savior was there, but he's now risen because he's no longer there. His body's not there. And Peter comes right behind and races right past John, goes into the tomb. He sees it too. And they both look and then they see the linen cloth that was wrapped around his face, folded up and placed by itself. A sign to them that I've risen. and I will return, just as I promised. What did the angels say? They said, come, see the place where he lay. They told the shepherds, behold, he's been born to you. They're saying, go see the place where he lay. To the women, they say, come, see the place where he lay. Then go tell. Just like the shepherds some 30 years before began to spread the good news that the Savior has been born, so the disciples are told to go, spread the news, the Savior has risen. He was born to draw near to us because we could not draw near to him. He was crucified to forgive us of our sins. He shed his blood to forgive our iniquities, and he was risen again to give us life forevermore. What we're going to do this morning, in honor of the Lord's wondrous work in drawing near to us, we're going to have communion. It's going to be a little bit different. Let me explain it to you. Guys, deacons, if you would come, and I need a couple of you up here on either side. Here's how we're going to do it. We're going to have the music playing. If you need to go, I understand. But what the Lord's table is it's the bread and the cup. They represent the body of Christ and the blood of Christ. We're going to come and see the place where Jesus lay. And then we're going to go and declare his glory for what he's done for us. What we're going to do this morning is I'm going to invite you, as you see a table open, you are a believer. You've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You've been baptized and the table is open to you. You come and join in fellowship and say, what this is a representation of is a saying, I'm drawing near to the one who drawed near to me. I'm drawing near to the Savior. And I'm remembering what he did on my behalf. So what we're going to do is you come forward. The men will have the cup here before. I'm going to pray in just a moment. They're going to give you the bread. They're going to give you the cup. You come with your family or with those right around you. If you see a table open, I invite you to come down the center aisle. We'll go out the sides, okay? And then if you're not comfortable, you don't have to come. You feel free. We're just going to end our service by drawing near to the Savior. He said, come and see the place where he lay. Then go and tell, and that's what we want to do this morning. So I'm going to come. I'm going to pray over the bread and the cup, and what I invite you to do is come forward as well. You partake. The men will hand you the bread. They'll hand you the cup, and I invite you to, your little family, come stand over to the side and have a prayer and thank the Lord for drawing near to us on this day. And then just quietly exit as others come forward, okay? Gary, would you say a prayer thanking the Lord for giving us his body? The bread represents his body, and the Lord said, take, eat, do this in remembrance of me. Would you pray thanking the Lord for his body? Amen. And then after the disciples ate, they took the cup, and Jesus took it up, and he said, take, drink, this is my blood, which was spilled for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Randy, would you pray and thank the Lord for giving us his blood?